When you know that you are queer, but your favorite drink is beer, that's gayish. You can bottom without stopping, but you can't stand going shopping, that's gayish. Oh, gayish, you're probably gayish. Well, life's just too short for narrow stereotypes, so it's gayish. We're also gayish. It's gayish with Mike and Kyle.
Hello, everyone in the podcast universe. This is Gayish,
the podcast where you should always be prepared in your butt.
I mean,
you never know what's going to happen.
Never leave the home.
Never leave the hole.
Unprepared.
Unprepared.
I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Yates.
And we're here to bridge the gap between sexuality and actuality. And today...
We're going to talk about Boy Scouts.
We're going to talk about Boy Scouts.
People were excited for this one.
I know, but I thought I was going to lose. I was rooting for you, Kyle.
Oh, why? You picked stuff and you were like, meh, not this stuff.
Yeah. We'll talk about the poll in a little bit. But first... Here's the news.
Shut your mouth hole. It's time for your ear holes. News. News. News.
News the first.
Okay.
Kyle, I'm going for my journalism badge.
Oh.
Are you ready?
Okay.
All right. So the world's oldest conjoined twins, Lori and George Chappelle, have died.
Oh.
On the 7th of April. But then I had a journey because I was like, wait a minute, they're conjoined twins, but that's a girl name and that's a boy name. It turns out that George was trans.
Oh.
So they're conjoined twins and only one of them was trans.
Interesting.
He came out in 2007 after hiding his trans identity for many years, even from his sister, to whom he was joined by the head.
Yeah.
That's just so interesting to me.
They were hard to keep a secret when you share a head.
Right? Right? They were born in 1961 in Pennsylvania with partially fused skulls. They shared 30% of their brain. They were initially told they wouldn't live past 30, but they were 62 when they passed away.
Wow.
So the twins had separate bedrooms and alternated between them, so each twin could be in their own room at least half the time.
Oh.
When George came out as trans in 2007, he said, quote, "I have known from a very young age that I should have been a boy. I loved playing with trains and hated girly outfits. I kept my desire to change sex hidden, even from Lori, for many years." They are the first conjoined same-sex twins to identify as different genders. He had a successful career as a country singer, and Lori found success as a trophy-winning 10-pin bowler.
Wow. That's... How are they more successful than me?
It's mind-boggling. How do you become a professional bowler with some dude attached to your head? That's just amazing.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Let's see. The other thing that I thought was interesting is they both have had dating lives. And apparently, at least in Lori's case, when Lori would go on dates, George would read a book to sort of butt out of the conversation.
That's smart. That's kind of the only thing you can do.
They're super duper interesting. And I'm going to, okay. I was very tempted for just a minute to like just read this article where like the word inspiring is used. And that's kind of like ableist porn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but they were amazing at how they navigated their life, given their condition. It's impressive. I'll use the I word impressive. How about that?
Okay.
Okay. Kyle, what if we were conjoined at the head?
Ooh, look, I like you, but not that much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doing a podcast would be easier. We'd always be around.
That's true. All these scheduling conflicts with my fucking work schedule would be easier to navigate. Okay, news the second. Let's do this one. So in Tallahassee, Florida, a federal judge has ruled that a trans woman teacher no longer has to be referred to as Mr. in the classroom.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Citing First Amendment protections, the judge said that she can use Miss and female pronouns. The decision follows the passage of HB 1069 in Florida, which mandated that teachers could not use pronouns that do not correspond to his or her sex. But the judge said, quote,
"So are you going to inspect everyone's genitals and make sure that they're being gendered according to their sex? That's the logical next step to all of these things. And it's really like, no, you don't want genital inspections to be a teacher. Right. That's not what anyone wants.
Or to do really anything.
Or to do most.
That's not a urology appointment.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah. She went by Miss Wood at a Florida high school for 4 years and would regularly write her name, title, and pronouns on the whiteboard. And
what an unfortunate name.
Right, well, you know.
Sorry. It's Miss Wood.
But then when that bill passed, administrators called her in for a meeting and informed her that she had to remove her pronouns and title from display and could not correct students who referred to her as Mr.
Ugh.
The judge ruled with this critique, quote, "Once again, the state of Florida has a First Amendment problem. It has occurred so frequently of late, some might say you can set your clock by it. The question before this court is whether the First Amendment allows the state to dictate without limitation how public school teachers refer to themselves when communicating with students. The answer is a thunderous no." So anyway,
thunderous.
Yeah. It is interesting, right? This idea that like the Don't Say Gay bill and Don't Say Trans bills, the bills like them, can force somebody who works for the state to say things that they don't believe,
yeah,
or don't identify with.
Yeah.
It is super interesting. Now there's the counter argument that like, no, they can't compel her to use male pronouns, but they also don't have to employ her, but it's a public institution. So,
and even if it weren't, you should still employ her.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. Also they noticed, when in the ruling, the state was trying to say that it could potentially cause issues with her ability to do her job. And, In her defense, they pointed out that her kids' test scores are higher than other classes in the county.
That's interesting. That sucks that has to be part of the argument, because it shouldn't matter if her kids are bad or good or dumb or smart. Like, I would say her ability to correct kids when they get information wrong is like imperative to being a teacher. So yeah. If she can't do that, that's makes teaching harder.
Yep. Which teaching is hard enough.
Don't add this additional burden onto trans teachers.
Oh God. Okay. News the third. I'm going to do four this week, Kyle.
Ooh. Okay.
News the third. Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni says surrogacy is inhuman.
Mm-hmm.
It's already illegal in Italy, but the Brothers of Italy party that Meloni runs has introduced a bill that would further criminalize the act by hiking fines from 600,000 euros to 1 million euros and increasing jail terms from 3 months up to 2 years. Quote, "I continue to believe that surrogacy is an inhuman practice." She said, "I support the bill that makes it a universal crime to do surrogacy." Pope Francis addressed surrogacy in a document released Monday that a lot of people are talking about in terms of gender identity stuff as well. But it says that the Catholic Church is also against surrogacy because, quote, "it violates the dignity of the child and the woman who becomes a mere means subservient to the arbitrary gain or desire of others."
Hmm.
Which I don't apparently like. It's fine to force her to give birth for her husband or her rapist, but if it's out of the goodness of her heart for some other person, that's somehow evil and wrong and bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it just, oh God.
I remember when we had Joseph Peters Matthews on to talk about surrogacy, and we got a bunch of people saying that surrogacy was wrong and got a bunch of hate comments about that.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
The comments part, not the bad part.
Yeah.
Also, it's under Meloni's government that Italy, I didn't realize this and didn't cover it at the time, but took a step backwards. Birth certificates were changed to say parent one and parent two, and then they rolled that back. And in 2023, they went back to having mother and father on birth certificates.
Fuck off.
Yeah, fuck off, Italy.
Sucks, yeah.
And the Pope, I guess.
Comma, the Pope.
News the last.
Okay.
O.J. Simpson is dead.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, O.J. Simpson died. And the gay connection, though, that I think is really interesting is that the Daily sure. Mail was trying to blame the fact, they just went right past the did he do it or not. They're like, he is a murderer.
Uh-huh.
And they think that he's a murderer because he had internalized rage because his dad was a gay drag queen.
His dad was a gay drag queen?
That's the rumor. So the Daily Mail argued that, quote, his drag queen father who died of AIDS was a reason behind his murderous rage. And Jimmy Lee Simpson is his dad, who did pass away from what at least looks like AIDS-related illness, was believed to be gay, or at least there were rumors that he was gay. There was a childhood friend named Calvin Tennyson who said, quote, one day we went over to his dad's house and knocked on the door. When his dad opened the door, he was in a bathrobe, which is not a crime. But then he kind of opened the door more, and there was a guy in the back in a bathrobe, too. It was obvious that his dad was gay.
Hmm.
And they also point to a 1977 interview with Parents Magazine where OJ said that he was not close to his dad and resented his absence, adding, quote, when I became a teenager and was trying to find out who I was, I really needed a man around for guidance.
Mm.
The implication being that he was not getting that from his father.
Yeah.
Anyway, just like OJ's dad is a drag queen is a thing that I had never heard before.
I had no idea. But also it's the Daily Mail, so it's like...
Yeah. Yeah. True story.
Yeah.
He full-on murdered those people.
He definitely did.
Yeah. Rest in death.
Are we allowed to say that? There are some things where we... Eh.
It is my opinion, Kyle. In my opinion, facts don't matter. And he murdered those people.
Yeah, okay.
That's the news.
That's the news. Speaking of people we don't want to murder, I want to thank the following new Patreon members. Thank you to Keith Panetta.
Yeah.
Probably.
Leon's... son, grandson, nephew.
I don't know who Leon Panetta is. Okay. Alex Cy Dickinson.
Yeah. Hey.
Or Alexei. I'm not sure which one.
Alexei. Although Dickinson's not a Russian name, so who knows?
Quinn.
Just Quinn.
Just Quinn. Thank you, Quinn. Thanks. Quinn has two N's if that matters.
Thanks, so Quinnina.
Quinnina. Christian.
Oh.
Just Christian.
Just Christian.
And Jobo.
Job, is that two words?
It's one word.
Jobo.
I thought I said it one wordingly. Jobo. Oh.
Jobo.
Yeah.
Sounds like a bonobo name.
Thank
a bonobo
you.
Name. Damn
a
it.
Bonobo. Bonobo.
It's a bonobo name.
Thank you to our new Patreon members. If you want ad-free episodes a day early, if you want to get cool stuff, if you want to use Mike's hole.
Use my hole. It's been a minute.
It's been a minute. Then go to patreon.com/gayishpodcast.
My hole feels empty. Fill it with your words.
Oh, shit. I forgot to do this correction at the beginning.
Do it now.
So now I'll do a correction. I said Bertman Rock the entire time.
Yeah.
Last episode about Playboy, and it is Bretman Rock.
Bretman Rock.
My sincere apology to the Rock estate, to his family, to God, and to my pastor.
And to the ghost of Hugh Hefner.
Yep, exactly.
Rolling over in his grave.
So yeah, sorry.
Because there's a dude on the cover.
Yeah, he was one of the dudes on the cover.
Yeah.
So he's a fan of it when it's him, at least. Anyway, Bretman Rock.
Bretman?
Yeah.
Rock.
Yeah.
That rocks.
Do you want to talk about Boy Scouts?
Let's talk about the Boy Scouts, Kyle.
Okay, you picked this.
Yeah, so every month we do a Patreon poll, and whoever won the poll last month gets to pick one, and the other person gets to pick two, and then we do that, whatever wins, whatever our Gap Bridgers say,
mm-hmm.
And then we also run a tiebreaker. But I did Boy Scouts, I don't know, whatever.
Whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel good to win, Kyle.
Why not? Because it's so easy?
Because we're going to go with that now. Okay. No, because I don't know.
Huh.
I feel like we're a team.
Oh.
There is no Mike and team.
There. I think Boy Scouts is a good topic, and there's some gay parts to it, so I think it's interesting.
What were the other two? It was docking, which is going to be your Patreon episode.
Yep.
And the other one.
And the other one.
Yeah.
Mullets?
Mullets. Yeah, that was my other choice, was mullets.
I'm glad that didn't win. I don't know what I would have talked about if we talked about mullets.
I'm going to guess mullets. Just a guess.
Thanks.
I'm going to talk to you about the history of the Boy Scouts, Kyle.
Okay.
So usually when we talk about the Boy Scouts, because we are marrow-centric assholes that have our heads up our own ass, we think about Boy Scouts of America.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Which, I had this thought earlier today.
Oh.
Whoever designed those uniforms is a faggot, right?
Oh, for sure.
The, like, neckerchief.
Neckerchief and little shorty shorts.
And a sash.
Yeah.
And shorty shorts. My goodness.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, the Boy Scouts of America, which also just gets called Boy Scouts, was founded in 1910. And about 110 million Americans have been part of Boy Scouts of America over the years. But it also was a founding member of the World Organization of the Scout Movement in 1922, because I didn't realize this, Boy Scouts and Scouting is not a uniquely American institution.
Hmm.
I kind of put it in the same category in my head as fraternities, which college fraternities are like a United States only thing.
Hmm.
I think that's why I just assume that they don't have them other places, but they very much do.
I'm just an Amerocentric asshole.
Great. Excellent.
I didn't even think about if they have them in other countries.
Well, they do.
They
Kyle.
Do. Okay.
Okay. So it was founded in the United States. It was founded by Charles Alexander Eastman, William D. Boyce, Ernest Thompson Seton, and Daniel Carter Beard. There was a Beard in charge. And, so their stated mission is, quote, to prepare young people to make ethical and moral choices over their lifetimes by instilling in them the values of the Scout Oath and Law. And when the whole thing got started, there was kind of this focus on letting boys do what boys do naturally and just be there as guardrails to help keep them safe, which kind of just sounds like Lord of the Flies to me. Like, just send them out into the forest with shit and like everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Were you a Boy Scout, Kyle?
I was not.
No?
No. My dad was. He was an Eagle Scout.
That's hardcore.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah.
I was not either.
You were not?
No. And I think it's because we were too poor.
Oh.
I don't know why. I assume it cost money. I don't know.
I was going to ask what about it made it seem like if you're just, I guess, camping equipment costs money.
Yeah. And like,
crafts or whatever else you do.
I had chores to do on the farm and shit. Anyway, no, I'm kidding. Mostly I'm not kidding. Okay, so Boy Scouts of America, they got started in 1910. They were founded February 8th as their official birthday, 1910. And they, like a lot of things in that part of our history, Kyle, the origin story is kind of bullshit.
Mm.
Like George Washington and the not chopping down the cherry tree, or I cannot tell a lie, or whatever the fuck. That all of that is fucking invented.
Right.
And it is horseshit. But the guy, W.D. Boyce, would tell this story about the unknown scout. And he, apparently the story went that he was lost on a foggy street in London, and an unknown scout came to his aid and guided him back to his destination. And he tried to give the boy a tip, and the boy said no, because I was just merely doing my duty as a Boy Scout, sir. And then it was immediately after that, because he had asked the boy where the headquarters was, that he met with General Robert Baden Powell, who I'm going to talk about in a little bit. He was the head of the Boy Scout Association at that time, because it started in the UK. Boyce returned to America and 4 months later founded the Boy Scouts of America. Now, here's the thing. So he stopped in London because he was on his way to a safari in British East Africa. And it is true that a scout helped him and then refused to accept a tip. But the scout only helped him cross a street to a hotel, did not take him to scout headquarters, and Boyce never met General Baden Powell. That, again, I'm going to talk about him in a little bit. He did get the address of the scout headquarters, and he just went on his own, picked up some information about the group, and left. Weather reports show that London had no fog on that day.
I like that we're really getting into fact-checking this story.
Yeah, yeah. Now, It's just funny how these kinds of, like, humans can't help themselves but, like, yeah, elaborate and make a legend out of it.
Yeah, a day becomes a foggy day. Yeah. And you, yeah.
I wasn't just lost. I was really lost and cold and hungry and couldn't feel my toes. Mm-hmm. And this angel, this angelic cherub of a little boy came and saved me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I want to talk about this other cat instead.
Okay.
So Robert Baden-Powell, his full name was Lieutenant General Robert Stevenson Smith Baden-Powell, the first Baron Baden-Powell.
Wow. That's a hefty name. It's weighty.
He was a British Army officer, writer, founder, first chief scout of the worldwide scout movement. Apparently, he and his sister Agnes also founded the Girl Scout movement, which I didn't realize that those came from the same place. I thought they were like independent, but I think that's because I get it confused with Campfire Girls.
I don't know what that is.
It's another organization.
Oh.
So he wrote Scouting for Boys. He was in the British Army from 1876 until 1910 in India and in Africa. And he had a demonstration camp at it was the Brown Sea Island Scout Camp. And that is widely considered to be the first Boy Scout camp, like proper Boy Scout camp. He wrote Scouting for Boys, which was published in 1908. And then retired from the army in 1910 and formed the Scout Association, which then ultimately became the World Scouting Organization. So here's what I really want to talk about, Kyle. This dude was like a man's man and super into like the military and all of that. And he did get married. They had kids. But there were rumors that he was gay.
There were?
Yeah. Okay, so here's what's not debated, okay? There was, when he was in the army, he met a 20-year-old major named Kenneth McLaren. And even though McLaren was 20 at the time, Baden-Powell nicknamed him The Boy.
Oh, no.
On account of his appearance. They became really good friends. Big old quotes around really good friends. And Baden-Powell and McLaren both would say that that relationship was one of the most important friendships that they had in their life. Now, he also was put in charge of the Brown Sea Island Scout Camp in 1907. He was one of the staff, I'm sorry. And then Baden-Powell convinced McLaren to be his first manager at the Scout magazine. And people have wondered about that relationship. So apparently the boy was really good looking, really cherubic and pristine looking. And three of his biographers, Baden-Powell's biographers, have commented on or speculated on his sexuality. Two of the biographers in 1979 and 1986 focused just on his relationship with his close friend Kenneth McLaren and said, like, duh.
Oh.
look at what's going on there. Then there's this guy named Tim Giel who wrote a biography of Baden-Powell in 1989, and he says he thinks that there was no evidence that that friendship was erotic. Mm-hmm. But he still thinks Baden-Powell was a big old mo.
Oh.
He looked at Baden-Powell's views on women because he was like anti-woman, like wanted these like segregated gender-specific organizations to exist for a reason. He had, quote, an appreciation of the male form.
But we all can have, no. Yeah.
He also read a bunch of stuff about his military relationships and his thoughts and feelings and things that he wrote about his marriage. Tim Giel concluded that, in his personal opinion, Baden-Powell was a repressed homosexual.
Hmm.
Now,
that's so hard to be the judge of, though, to judge someone and say that they were repressed gay.
Yeah, I agree.
Because there's such a lack of evidence to support your theory.
And we run into this all the time, right? Like he was married, had kids, so at least outwardly that's pretty not gay.
Yeah.
But then also at a time when you couldn't be gay and mm-hmm. you had certain societal expectations that you had to fulfill in order to be a functioning member of society. And then all of these like very close relationships with other dudes and like running around the world gallivanting with boys, right? Like,
but wouldn't you also not like the men have a hard time being friends as it is for fear of being called gay. So to take a good friendship and say that that means that he's gay, that, that kind of sucks.
It absolutely sucks. And I also wonder about the aspect of like, does this feed into, or at the very least, derive from the idea of men as predators and pedophiles, right? Mm-hmm. Like the fact that this kid was 20, which is still just pretty fucking young and looked 14.
Yeah.
And that's part of why he was called the boy is that, at a time, by the way, when Brosif was like 50, if that, like, if that raises our eyebrows and we go, well, must have been gay because of the pedophile thing.
Yeah, that's true.
It's really interesting. There was a book written by people named Proctor and Block, and they said that Giles' arguments and conclusion are just the result of amateur psychoanalysis, that there is no physical evidence to suggest that he was anything other than straight, and knock it off.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when you're speculating on other people's sexuality, especially if they didn't identify it, you need like the, you know,
you need the smoking pole.
Yeah. Yes. You need the smoking pole. You need the like ex-lover to come forward and be like, no, he was definitely gay, or, you know, that boy he was really close to like come forward and say something. But like without that, then I do think it's this trying to be a therapist when you're not.
I also think that there's some like weird, wouldn't it be just like chef's kiss if Boy Scouts was founded by a faggot, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like there's a, it would be like, I want it so bad to be true that we look for what's not actually there.
Yeah.
In order, like when I was reading about the rumors about this cat, I was like, oh, this is juicy. This is going to be good. This is what I wanted out of this segment. Right.
Yeah.
But I totally agree with you that it's kind of, I don't know. It's hard to say. It's hard, like, definitively, and probably shouldn't speculate. But also, so what if he was, I guess?
Yeah, so if he was. You could probably look at a lot of people's histories and come up with a way that they might be gay.
Yeah, like Abraham Lincoln sharing that bed with that dude.
Yeah, well, he might have been gay. Yeah.
You have some gaydoms?
I have a couple gaydoms. We'll start with this one. This is some gaydom directly from scouting.org.
Great. Excellent.
So the scouting organization is composed of how many young members between the ages of 5 and 21?
Worldwide or in America?
U.S.
U.S.
Yeah.
900,000.
Close. 1 million.
Yay, me.
Yeah. And more than 600,000 volunteers in local councils.
Okay. They're outnumbered.
They're outnumbered. The boys outnumber them for sure.
Great.
It's almost 2-3. 11% of boys in the United States are currently a scout.
That seems high.
That does seem high, right? Cause like, I guess I don't interact with children, so maybe this is why I'm like, no one I know is a Boy Scout. But then again, no one I know is a child.
I wonder if any of my nephews are Boy Scouts. I don't actually know. I should call my brothers and find out. I'm guessing not, though.
Wouldn't that have come up
because
at
we
some
weren't?
Point? Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. 23 have been Scouts at some point in their lives.
23%?
Yes,
so percent. There's like... Wait, does that mean 12% were like Boy Scout dropouts?
I think, yeah. Well, once you get to a certain age, you can't be a Boy Scout anymore. So like that also seems really high.
Then you become a Man Scout.
Then you're, I'm a Man Scout. I think that's just like the older people who used to be Boy Scouts. If you include all those, that 23% seems really high for that.
I agree. 1 in 4? Nah.
No. Yeah, this is from them, so, you know, there's some biases going on. Boys who were in the Scouts are a Boy Scout for an average of 5 years.
Okay.
83% of men who were Scouts agreed that the values they learned in Scouting continued to be important to them today.
Oh.
Which I like that for the 17% who were like, no.
Yeah.
No. I didn't use that information. I didn't need it.
It was like math. Useless.
Yeah. I had no use for it. Men who were Scouts are more likely than those who have never been Scouts to have higher levels of education, higher earnings, and to own their own home. This, I wonder if this might be true because of the money thing. You talked about, like, I wasn't a Scout because we didn't have money.
Yeah.
I wonder if people with money are more likely to be Scouts because people that don't have money are focusing on.
You're making a correlation versus causation argument of, like, it's not that being a Scout made them good at life so that they could build a house. It's that they had money.
They had money.
That's why they were a Scout. That also propelled them to education and therefore a home. Okay.
Yeah. That's my guess.
Great.
Don't you think it takes, I mean, you said this at the beginning, it seems like people with money are the ones that are Scouts because you have time to do this shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And 88% of Scouts feel proud to live in the United States.
Wow. Great. America.
Yep. Go America. There was like this big like packet with a ton of other information about each of their values or whatever. But those are the things that I pulled out.
Okay.
Yeah.
You pulled out at the Boy Scouts.
Pulled out from the Boy Scouts. Oh, no.
So we can talk about it now.
Okay.
So, you know, the merit badges, like when you earn a badge, then you sew it into your sash that makes you look like Miss America, but butch.
but. A boy version.
The Medal of Merit badge, originally in 1911 anyway, had a swastika on it. Now, the reason that it had a swastika on it, and of course, you know, Nazis did not like gay people.
No.
Or Jews.
No.
But that's not, they weren't evoking Nazism at all. It's because Rudyard Kipling used the swastika on the jacket of The Jungle Book. And this Baden-Powell cat apparently loved The Jungle Book and used The Jungle Book as like part of the philosophy for this whole thing. But like the wolf cub branch of the scouting movement came out of The Jungle Book, and the swastika was part of it. Anyway, swastika was a symbol of luck in India a long time before the Nazis adopted it. And then when the Nazis started using the swastika, the Scouts immediately stopped using it. So they didn't do the, like, it's our heritage.
Oh, yeah.
Which, thank goodness.
Yeah. Wow, the swastika really got a bad rap.
Well, the Nazis ruined everything they touched, Kyle.
Yeah, yep.
And still do. But it turns out also that Nazi Germany banned scouting. The thing is, they had the Hitler Youth, and they thought that it was a competitor. And they didn't want Boy Scouts and Hitler Youth, like, to be, you know, a dividing attention.
Yeah.
So they banned it in June of 1934, and they said that they really poured on the rhetoric. It sounds a little bit like somebody running for president right now. said, quote, "It's a haven for young men opposed to the new state." And they cast scouting as a dangerous espionage organization.
Yeah, that's what those little kids are doing. They're taking their binoculars and spying right into the heart of you.
And this maybe gay Baden-Powell guy was in the Black Book, which the Black Book was a 1940 secret list of people that were going to be jailed if the Nazis' planned conquest of the UK were successful. So he was like on the list of people they had to round up.
Wow.
Which I thought was super interesting. But yeah, this idea that, like, it takes an indoctrinator to know an indoctrinator. So when the Nazis are like, we can't have them indoctrinating them separately, we need a monopoly on indoctrination.
Yeah.
And it makes me realize that, like, that kind of thinking is sort of what's going on in our politics right now, right? The idea of, like, who's grooming who, and everybody must be grooming somebody. So, like, those those drag queens are indoctrinating, but of course Christian Bible studies aren't.
Right.
What needs to be shut down or not is based on like agenda.
Yeah. This is the problem with using the word grooming, from taking that away from what it originally meant, is that like, yeah, if you look at it that way, everyone's grooming someone because we're all teaching kids and shaping them in some kind of image.
Yeah.
So if you want to just debase it down to like, that's what grooming is, then yeah, everyone that talks to a child is grooming them.
Yeah.
So grooming is actually a term used for sexual predators, where it's like a specific kind of plan and path you use to prepare them to be a sexual prey for you.
Yeah.
And so that they won't tell on people. Like it's a really specific word that's annoying, that has been stolen and meaning has been lost.
Well, and everything is just so extra, right? Like crank it up to 11 all the time. Like they're running scared.
Yeah.
It's clearly just fear.
Yeah. I want to go back to, you mentioned indoctrination.
Yeah.
Is Boy Scouts indoctrination?
The Nazis sure thought so.
Yeah.
Right? Like they also did their best to shut down non-Christian churches and in any sort of journalism that was reporting against the movement. They shut down gay people, despite the relatively permissive Weimar Republic in terms of attitudes about homosexuals. Like they really, it takes an indoctrinator to know an indoctrinator, and the Nazis sure thought that the Boy Scouts were.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know that there's a lot, like when you start picking apart the actual values of the Boy Scouts, they, at least the modern Boy Scouts, are not particularly religious. They have allowed agnostic and atheist scouts for a really long time.
Hmm.
And all of the stuff, like what is their fucking on my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the scout law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. That was the, okay, morally straight.
Yeah. I wrote that down too, to talk about.
But that was the scout oath, which I think has changed over time. I don't know that it says to God in my country anymore. Maybe it does.
I think it did on scouting.org at least.
Okay. So there's not a lot to argue with there is what I'm saying, right? Like who's going to say like, no, telling kids to do their best is indoctrination.
Well, right? Okay.
Helpful to other people. That's indoctrination.
Given their history, morally straight is a little bit, maybe they could update the wording on that.
Maybe so. Yeah. Morally upright.
Morally sound.
Morally not flaccid. And a scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. That's scout law. I don't have much argument with any of those either.
Yeah.
Right? So now maybe there's some nuance about what it means. Like loyal, that's a word that the Trump camp throws around all the time because they don't mean loyalty in the altruistic sense or in the virtuous sense. They mean absolute submission unwavering jingoistic adherence to whatever that hive mind requires.
Yeah.
Fuck hell. I'm all medicated. It's great.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, let's go on. What else is happening? Scout me.
The other thing I wanted to tell you about, this was a paper that appeared in the Journal of Social Issues in 1978.
Okay, I'm from 1978.
Oh, congrats.
Thanks.
You were around when this paper came out.
Mm-hmm.
By Jeffrey P. Hantover. It is called The Boy Scouts and the Validation of Masculinity. And here is the summary that I wrote down of this paper. The success of the Boy Scouts of America in the early 20th century can be in part understood in terms of increased concern over the maintenance of traditional concepts of masculinity.
Yeah, okay.
Already, I'm getting nervous.
Yeah, for sure.
Adult men at the turn of the century believed that the opportunities for development and expression of masculinity were being restricted.
Sure. We've heard some of that horse shit recently.
I was going to say, like, man, this shit is not new. These worries about masculinity.
Like straight dudes, straight white people, straight white Christian people wanting to be the victims of persecution.
They want to be the victims of anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
They want to be the victims of anything so bad.
Because it's so hard to be them, Kyle.
It's so hard, and they just want people to know.
Yeah. You can't even say the N-word anymore.
And that's a restriction on my freedom. Scouting was a means to counteract perceived forces of feminization in the world of adolescence.
Sure. Yeah.
That's another thing we continue to see, like, the world is being feminized.
The youth are soft.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see that a lot today.
Yep.
No one wants to work anymore.
Everyone just wants a participation trophy because we've let them not learn what hard work is, and we've spoiled them because we spared the rod.
We didn't give ourselves participation trophies. I don't know why anyone blames the millennials for that. We didn't give them to us.
Right.
Other people gave them to us.
Right.
Why are you not blaming the other generations? Because we were the recipients of them and you're mad about that? I didn't give myself a participation trophy. I was just there.
Do you want me to give you one, Kyle?
No, I want to earn it.
Okay.
I want to earn my participation trophy.
Okay, great.
To continue, an analysis of the social background and motivations of Scoutmasters suggests that the scouting movement provided adult men, defined by their occupations, an opportunity to validate the traditional image of masculinity.
Yeah.
So.
But that's self-referential, right? Like, we're going to go do this masculine stuff because it's masculine.
Yeah, that's true. And this is so much of what we talk about, like the stereotypes of traditional masculinity has to just be picking apart the stereotypes and being like, we're going to go do that, right? You know, like there's no other way to define masculinity other than to stereotype.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
So I think it's really interesting that we've been talking about this same shit for forever. This was 1978. Yep. We're still talking about the risk and dangers of masculinity, and masculinity is so fragile.
Yep.
Because it's under attack all the time.
Yep. Yep. It's under attack, Kyle. All those beta cucks are going to just give up to the commies.
Yep. That's why I'm an incel.
Well, okay, we got to talk about gay shit, right?
Yeah, let's talk about gay shit.
Okay. There have been a number of membership controversies over the years with regards to the Boy Scouts, at least in America.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out that the UK is actually, like, unsurprisingly way ahead of us on a number of these things. Like,
oh, no,
they were allowing gay members or gay leaders in Boy Scouts as early as 1991. In the United States, though, it's been very, very different. We touched a little bit on religion. So they did have a position in the past that said that atheists couldn't be scouts or scout leaders. They have since walked that back. They also had their position on gender, which has evolved over time. In 1967, they had traditionally called the den mother as the position, and they changed that to den leader and said that both men and women could be den mothers.
Hmm.
And then in 1969, they opened special interest posts to young women to be associate members.
Hmm.
And then in...
But not equal members.
Right. That happened to a lot of fraternal organizations as well. Like you look at the Eagles and the Fraternal Order of Eagles, and they have their Aries, but they also have their auxiliary chapters, which that's the chicks.
Hmm.
Anyway. 2 years later, in 1971, the Boy Scouts decided to allow any explorer post to accept young women or young men based on the desires of the chartered organization. They really did a, like, local, y'all can decide locally thing for kind of a long time.
States' rights.
States' rights. and then it was in 1998 that they completely reorganized and split into two program categories that accepted men and women. Anyway, so gender. It was in 2017 that they said that trans boys would be allowed to enroll in their boys-only programs. Joe Maldonado was the first openly trans boy to join the Scouts on February 7th of 2017. And it was until 2017 that their official position was that girls could not participate in Cub Scouts or Boy Scouts. even though those were its largest programs. Mm-hmm. They're like, we have other programs that girls can be in. But venturing and learning for life programs were and continue to be open to men and women. So it was in 2017 in October that they said that girls would be allowed to become Cub Scouts. Mm-hmm. And
around the same time that they allowed trans boys to
just after the same year, like 8 months later. And then
I don't like the connection between that.
I don't either.
Oh, we're letting you, it shouldn't be based on, oh, we're letting girls in, so now trans boys are fine. Like, those things shouldn't be connected.
Right.
And it seems like they might have been connecting them. I don't know. But it's progress, so
yay. Yeah, it's possible. I get what you're saying. It does feel like kind of icky.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
And then in 2019, they said that older girls could become Eagle Scouts. But that really means that, like, quote unquote, full gender equality within the BSA organization, which they have been trying to say that it's just scouts or scouting, and that BSA, even though it used to stand for Boy Scouts of America, no longer stands for anything. So that the B is no longer boy. Like, they're working real hard at like getting this image thing straightened out. But yeah, the BSA has had quote unquote full equality just since 2019, Kyle.
Yeah.
Eons ago.
Yeah.
Right? I keep thinking about like gay marriage. Gay marriage hasn't been legal for 10 years yet.
Hmm.
Like, we're not talking about like decades and decades and decades of progress. Like,
yeah.
It's all very new still.
It's so new.
Okay, so now let's talk about gay shit.
Yeah, okay.
Before 2013, as early as 1980, the Boy Scouts of America denied membership from openly homosexual individuals applying for adult leadership positions.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering whether we were talking about the actual boys in Boy Scouts or the adult people that are leading them.
Right.
Which are two different conversations.
Which are two different conversations. But people seemed way more, over the years, over the evolution of Boy Scouts, seemed to be more focused on the leaders, the adults that were interacting with the kids, which is all grounded in this pedophilia thing that we have been talking about, right?
Yeah. Even though it's always church leaders that are the pedophiles, but
So in 1991, they released a position statement that said, quote, "We believe that homosexual conduct is inconsistent with the requirement in the Scout oath that a Scout be morally straight, and in the Scout law that a Scout be clean in word and deed, and that homosexuals do not provide a desirable role model for Scouts. The BSA thus believes that a known or avowed homosexual is not an appropriate role model of the Scout oath and law."
It's mean.
It's fucking mean.
Just mean.
Well, and so this idea that like being gay is dirty and immoral, and a corrupting presence, things haven't gotten that much better since 1991, Kyle. Right?
I would like to think that it has.
Mm. Not in Florida.
Not in Florida.
In 2004, they included a youth leadership policy that said, quote, "Boy Scouts of America believes that homosexual conduct is inconsistent with the obligations in the Scout oath and Scout law to be morally straight and clean in thought, word, and deed." This is only 20 years ago. "The conduct of youth members must be in compliance with the Scout oath and law, and membership in Boy Scouts of America is contingent upon the willingness to accept Scouting's values and beliefs. Most boys join Scouting when they are 10 or 11 years old. As they continue in the program, all Scouts are expected to take leadership positions. In the unlikely event that an older boy were to hold himself out as homosexual, he would not be able to continue in a youth leadership position."
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem, is that they were dealing with such young kids that at what point did they even realize themselves that they're gay, and then when do they come out, and then this could be one of those things preventing them from coming out because they know that it's not allowed. It's just one more signal. one more way that we're learning that it's not okay to be gay.
Yep, absolutely. And we know that a feeling of a lack of safety and support is directly correlated to suicide rates for queer kids. And so you are letting them get involved, maybe before they're aware of their own sexuality, in an organization that they care deeply about, that they pour a lot of time and energy into, that they develop all of these relationships within. And then as their sexuality emerges, you tell them specifically, your time in this organization is going to end if you come out.
Right? And the work that you did is not valuable. Like, right. It is for nothing.
Now, as I often say, it's all fun and games until the Mormon Church gets involved. And the Mormon Church and Boy Scouts of America have had a complicated history of supporting each other. And there are a lot of Boy Scouts are Mormon boys. That's absolutely a true thing. What's interesting, though, is in 2013, so on April 19th, 2013, the BSA announced a proposal to no longer deny membership to youth on the basis of sexual orientation, but maintain its ban on openly gay adult leaders. And the LDS Church released, the Mormon Church released a statement that supported that proposal. So they're like, how about we let the gay kids be still in the organization? This, they have to, we're going to drum them out if they're gay after they turn 18. The Mormon Church is like, yeah, that one. Let's do that one. That sounds good. I don't know. How do you feel about that? I guess it's progress.
But it makes it feel like they're only letting in younger gay kids so they can try to dissuade them from being gay. Mm. Like, if it's damning at the age of 18 all of a sudden to be gay, then why are they okay with it earlier? And my only inclination is that they want to try to straighten you up.
Yeah.
And they think that maybe they can do it or the Boy Scouts can do it.
Yeah. 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 Hmm. I don't know why I'm sad now, but I'm sad.
No, it is sad. Well, it's hard because this is something that people are so passionate about. They spend a lot of time and effort and work really hard at Boy Scouts, you know, to earn their badges and patches and stuff, and invest a lot of themselves. It means a lot to people. And to have an organization that means a lot to you reject you based on nothing that you've, based on not any of the work that you've done, but based on just who you are, that sucks. And that's really sad to hear about and talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so eventually it became about money. There are lots of major corporations that were backers of the Boy Scouts of America who basically said, if you're going to keep this anti-gay policy when it comes to volunteers and adult leaders, we're going to pull the plug on funding. And Boy Scouts tried to call their bluff and said, no, we're going to stick with our policy. This was in 2017 and 2015. It was 2015, sorry. But there were a bunch of companies who then broke ties. Chase Manhattan Bank, Levi Strauss, Fleet Bank, CVS Pharmacy, Pew Charitable Trusts, all withdrew their funding. The United Way withdrew their funding. Intel, the computer chip company, UPS, Merck and Company, Chipotle,
wow,
pulled their funding. And it was very shortly thereafter that they were like, well, okay, hold on, let's think about this.
after probably losing what, millions of dollars, then
millions of dollars,
yeah.
So yeah, by 2015, they voted unanimously to approve a policy change that would effectively end the national ban on gay adults. And, I guess they got some of their money back, which they really, really needed because of something else that happened. Are you going to cover this?
No,
no. Mm-mm. Over $2 billion in a class action lawsuit to Boy Scouts that had suffered any sort of sexual abuse at the hands of Boy Scout volunteers. Yeah, it's 2020. In 2020, they filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy because of past Boy Scouts of America sex abuse cases. So there were around 2,000 reported cases of abuse within the Boy Scouts of America prior to 1994. In 2010, a jury ordered that the BSA pay $18.5 million to a scout who was abused in the 1980s. And in 2020, that's when they filed for Chapter 11 because they were offering a financial restructuring so that they could give, quote, equitable compensation to survivors and their families. There were about 200 pending lawsuits in state and federal district courts.
Wow.
And about 1,700 potential claimants in total, once you looked at all of those, because a lot of them were class action. And so they agreed to pay over $2.4 billion, with payments beginning in September of 2023. And the lowest tier, which this is the thing that creeps me out the most about this, is all of the payouts started at $3,500 and went as high as $1 million and some change, and but that was based on how bad the abuse case was.
Oh God!
So like, some poor actuary or accountant and or lawyer, they have to sit down and talk about like how like this horrible thing that happened. Let's put a dollar number on it.
Yeah.
And that's the check that we're gonna write.
How bad was this, like a little abuse or like a lot of abuse? How bad was this?
Right.
Like, that's a horrible question to ask and have to then come up with a monetary answer.
Yeah, it's wild to me. It's absolutely wild to me.
Yeah, do you feel like this was $1 million abuse or just like $3,500 abuse? Like,
and of course, then we have to look at the parallels between that and the Catholic Church, right? Like, this is a men's organization, the priesthood, that has altar boys were largely, like, there were also not altar boys, like, just people in the congregation that were also abused by priests. But then all of this investigation, and the difference being that Boy Scouts of America only had a certain amount of money, as the Catholic Church has, you know, plundered trillions of dollars over the centuries that it's existed. But yeah, there's a lot of parallels that you could draw between the two organizations. The last thing that I wanted to talk about, though, before we move on, is it's also important to realize that the Boy Scouts has had a history of racial segregation.
Mm.
Like, if you picture a Boy Scout in your head, he white.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And even though our public schools were desegregated in 1954 because of Brown versus Board of Education, Boy Scouts of America allowed racially segregated troops as late as 1974.
Wow.
So in 1974, the NAACP sued in a Mormon church affiliated troop.
Not surprising.
There were two 12-year-old black scouts who sought to fill the role of senior patrol leader. Mormon boys entered the lowest level of the priesthood at 12, and the church's rules required that the senior patrol leader be a deacon within the church. But the Mormon church did not allow for full black membership. And until 1978, they didn't allow people of African descent to be full members of the priesthood.
Hmm.
So all of that meant that black scouts were prohibited from holding office of senior patrol leader in Mormon-affiliated troops. And so there was a big old lawsuit about this. The parties ultimately reached settlement. But yeah, it was like the 70s before Boy Scouts really became integrated from a racial standpoint. And it's just so fucking stupid.
Yeah. The one thing that I have to add that I wrote down is the Boy Scouts has allowed religiously chartered organizations, which operates more than 70% of their units.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's a ton of religion, and Boy Scouts go hand in hand, basically.
Yep. Which is weird because it seems not quite so overt, right?
Right.
But it's there.
But it's there for sure.
Yeah.
This is how religion influences all of our lives. It has its little tendrils in everything that's going on in our lives.
Yep.
And this is just one more way it kind of infiltrates subtly.
Yep. That's why the gay agenda has to fight back, Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. One library book at a time.
Is it just organization, like places where men have power? I'm going back to the sexual abuse.
Yeah.
Is it just any organization where men have power and boys are the participants? Like, is that the recipe for predatory behavior? It's a pretty low bar for it.
It's a pretty low bar for it, but I think you're onto something, right? You look at corporate executives and the tendency for them to be sexually forward with their subordinates. Mm-hmm. And you look at the priesthood, you look at fraternities and fraternity culture in a lot of ways. You look at prison, mm-hmm, and power hierarchies that develop there.
Yeah.
Like there's a tendency for sex and domination to be mixed in a not hot way.
Yeah. 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 Why do people let men be in power?
Yeah. No more straight dudes.
No more straight dudes.
Ever.
No.
For anything.
Not another straight dude.
Never.
Except for Joe Biden.
Yeah. Vote for Joe Biden, everybody.
Vote Joe Biden. And
I also want to say that from 2002 to 2022, from 2002 to 2022, mm-hmm, membership in the Boy Scouts went down 69%.
Nice.
That
doesn't... Okay, so it does validate my, like, I don't really hear about the Boy Scouts that much anymore.
Right. They're much, much smaller than they used to be.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense to me.
What do you got?
That's all I got. On the Patreon segment, I'm going to be talking about, there is coming out advice from the Scouts for Equality that I actually think is pretty good. So we're going to talk about the Scouts coming out advice.
Great. Awesome.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Before we go,
yeah,
we're going to play a game.
Okay.
I've made a game for you, Kyle. It is called, Is This Really a Merit Badge?
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I will name a topic, a subject, and you will tell me whether yes or no, according to scouting.org, is this a merit badge that you can earn as a member of the Boy Scouts of America.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep.
First, art.
Yes.
That's correct.
Okay. I was going to say, that's pretty generic merit badge.
Next, basketry.
Oh, yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
How about dentistry?
No, you can't do dentistry as a child.
That is a badge that one can earn. I'm not sure what all is involved in it.
That's kind of scary. I don't want a child in my mouth.
We're going to pause for that. Okay. Personal fitness.
Yes.
That's correct. How about ice dancing?
I mean, I would say no, but dentistry was one. So if dentistry is one, sure, ice dancing, yes.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. How about welding?
I would let people do ice dancing ahead of dentistry.
I agree.
Welding, yes.
You're fine with a child welding.
Yeah, sure. They just need a mask.
You're correct. That is a badge that one can earn. How about bugling?
Yes.
Correct. It is a merit badge. How about social media?
Oh, no. They wouldn't want to reward that shit.
Correct.
Oh.
How about theater?
Yes.
That's correct. Space exploration.
Okay. Is that just look... I was like... Is that just staring into a telescope into the sky and being like, look, I found it. It's right there. It's space.
Well, and why call it space exploration?
Instead of space looking.
Observation.
Right, yeah. I'm going to say yes.
You are correct.
Wow.
How about fashion?
Oh, man. But they're so anti-gay. They don't. Why would they want to reward it? I'm going to go no.
That is correct. How about truck transportation?
That sounds butch and manly. I'm going to say yes.
You are correct.
Wow.
How about water sports?
Okay. No. No.
It is a badge that you can earn.
No.
Water sports.
Hey children, have you earned your water sport badge? Do you want to?
What did you have to do for it?
Oh god.
Skating?
Well, ice dancing wasn't one, but maybe skating is, yes?
Correct.
Ooh.
Horsemanship.
Okay. I guess riding a horse can be a dude thing. Yes.
You're correct.
Ooh.
How about hair and grooming?
No, that's too gay.
You're right, it's too gay. chess?
Yes.
Correct. Motorboating.
I guess if water sports was one, yes.
Correct.
Wow. They need some, they need, everyone needs a gay to audit the names of things. Product names, any kind of names, just to make sure it's not a innuendo.
How about leatherworking?
Yes.
Correct. And last but not least, fingerprinting.
I mean, I guess it's helpful if you're going to become a detective. So I'll go yes.
Correct. Wow. Kyle, you only missed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of 22. You did really well.
Thanks.
17. Correct. Any of those surprise you? Motorboating and water sports.
Water sports for sure. No, dentistry. I'm still back on dentistry. I can't get over that. That was a no.
Now, if we were going to have gayish agenda badges.
Oh.
What ones do you think we would need to have?
Water sports.
Water sports. Leather.
Leatherworking.
Motorboating?
I mean.
And fuck it. Dentistry.
Sure. Yeah. Listening.
Shutting the fuck up.
Shutting the fuck up and listening.
Glittercraft.
Glittercraft. Mm-hmm. You know, just one about giving good hugs.
Pole dancing?
Sure.
And jock strapping. We have to call it.
Oh, I like the verb jock strapping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, give us your ideas for gayish badges, y'all.
Yeah, we should have, they'll be in the merch store. Is Boy Scouts gay?
Okay. I think it doesn't have to be, mm-hmm. but it kind of is.
Oh, something I didn't mention. There was a question that someone posted to Quora that said, can my son be a Boy Scout and not become gay?
Oh. Okay. What was the answer?
Someone gave like a really PC answer that was like, I am a Boy Scout and I'm heterosexual and it is not to me to judge you. Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
Blah, blah,
so it was a good answer. Blah, blah. Not funny answers.
I mean, the truth. It was a real answer.
It was the truth. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think it, I think that like, it's what this show is about, Kyle, is stereotypes, right? Mm-hmm. And so many of our gay and straight stereotypes that we talk about at the end of the show, at the end of the day, are just masculine and feminine stereotypes.
Yep.
There are a couple of variations, but like for the most part. And I think that like Boy Scouts feel like they're trying a little too hard to be super butch, and that feels gay.
Yeah, okay. I was wondering to myself why it felt like Boy Scouts were kind of gay.
Yeah.
And that might be one of them. In spite of not allowing gay members for so long.
Yeah. And it's the uniform.
And the uniform. And I think it might be the best little boy in the world kind of thing of like the overachieving gay.
Yeah.
That's one of the avenues you can have to overachieve.
Yeah. I totally agree. Making Eagle Scout by 15 or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Like that boy probably is a little light in the loafers.
Yep.
Maybe.
Yeah. So you feel it too, that there's something gay about Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
In spite of themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't want to call it homoerotic because they're boys.
Right.
But like there are fraternity vibes in like to me having, but I wasn't a Boy Scout. I was in a fraternity. So there's like totally the potential for just projection on my part.
Yeah.
But it feels kind of gay.
Yeah. I'd agree. It feels kind of gay.
Yeah. Did we do it?
Yeah. We talked about Boy Scouts a bunch.
Yeah. Should we take a break?
Let's take a...
And build a fire?
Yeah, sure.
Let's take a break.
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 This is the part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
Sorry, we're back.
We're back.
We're back.
We're going to do our gayest and straightest.
We're going to do our gayest and straightest. But first, our website is gayishpodcast.com.
Our socials, we are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at Gayish Podcast.
Our hotline, you can send us text messages or leave us voicemails, especially if it's your gayest or straightest, because we love that. It's 5855-GAYISH. That's 585-542-9474. Standard rates apply.
Our email is gayishpodcast@gmail.com.
And our physical mailing address is Post Office Box 19882, Seattle, Washington, 98109.
The Patreon Happy Hour is coming up.
Yep.
Remember that.
Wednesday, May the 1st, 2024 at 6 p.m. Pacific. I've totally known that the entire time. Didn't fuck it up even once on the Patreon segment.
Nope. Exactly. And we all agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
Come out and come to the Happy Hour. It's a lot of fun. We get to hang out. We get to talk about gayish. We get to talk about your lives and what's going on with you.
We'll send you a merit badge.
We will not. Legally speaking, yeah. I have to just clarify. Yeah. But you have the authority to create your own Happy Hour merit badge.
Ooh. It'll be a Cosmo, right?
Oh, cute. Yeah. Yes.
Gayest
and straightest?
Gayest and straightest. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go.
What?
Oh.
Me?
Did you say you go?
Me? You.
You or me?
You? Me?
Me.
Do you want to flip a coin?
I'll go. My gayest is I got really annoyed at the slow walking straight couple in front of me.
Mm.
Boy, when I get stuck behind slow walkers, I'm just...
The worst to me is groups of friends that's like three or four friends because they're extra slow and they take up the entire fucking sidewalk.
Yeah. And they're so oblivious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're in their own world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Slow walkers, man.
Yeah.
Move. Yeah. Move. My straightest is I have not listened to the Beyonce album yet.
I downloaded it.
That's a step towards achievement.
Yep.
I have not done even that.
Yeah, I've just heard the couple of cuts off of it.
Yeah, same here.
The straightest thing about me this week is trying to... upstairs on the roof of my building is a barbecuer. And the propane tank situation up there. I'm like unscrewing things and screwing other things in because there's three tanks and two hoses and you've got to get like a wrench. And anyway, just... Like, futzing with the barbecue and the propane gas situation feels very...
So straight.
Very butch, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the gayest thing about me this week, in preparation for barbecue working correctly, cooking. Making a marinade from scratch.
Oh.
And putting it in the fridge and having steaks percolating. It just feels gay.
Yeah. How were they?
Don't know yet.
Oh, still in process.
Yeah. Still in process.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a listener's gayest and straightest this time from our voicemail. 5855 gayish, standard rate supply. Here we go.
Hey, this is Pup Tracks from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, with a gayest and straightest. First off, fuck our premier dickbag fuckface asshole Daniel Smith, who took away human rights of trans people. My gayest is jokingly sending my Dom a TikTok of a 3D printed spanking paddle with pieces of Lego printed on it. Turns out, he has a friend with a 3D printer and recreated the STL file and is now getting it printed. It'll likely be done by the time the dungeon party happens, and I'm scared now. Thankfully, I have a very high pain tolerance. My straightest is helping him and friends move furniture to help distract from the fact my dog moved out with my ex-husband. We have to borrow his boss's massive-ass truck that took up the full width of the lanes downtown. Felt incredibly straight, even being in what's essentially a monster truck. Thanks.
3D printing sex toys seems like pretty fucking great.
That's the future.
It's
You also didn't jokingly send it to him.
Yeah, right.
That wasn't a joke. That was a hint.
You knew what you were doing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'll pray for your butt.
That's it.
We did it. A special thank you to all of the Boy Scouts, gay or otherwise.
Yeah, gay or boring.
And thank you to you, Kyle.
Yeah, well, thanks to you, Mike.
Yeah.
And thank you to our super gap bridgers. Thank you to Kaylee Adams, Kit Oliver, Pip, Andrew Bugby, William Bryant, John Crowley, Stephen Porciosto, Harry Shaw, Jonathan Montanez, Wadu Forsnell, Patrick Martin, Steve Douglas, Explosive Lasagna, Michael Cubbington, Just Jamie, Thomas B, Dusty Sands, A.E. Coleman, Chris Cachetorians, and Jerome York. Thank you for your support.
Thank you for your money. From the Chris Cachetorian Studios, I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz. Until next week, be butch, be fabulous, be you.
I forgot to say this has been gayish, but whatever. Bye.
Bye. There you go.
There you go.